We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
Now we made it. It's Monday evening in the city of Chicago. Beautiful outside. Shorts are on for the first time. Oh, yesterday, but I'm just saying. Into the workplace. Everybody's got their shorts on, ready to roll. And then it's going to dip, what, 30, 40 degrees the rest of the week. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. A lot on my mind. Bears fans, don't go anywhere. Got a lot of football coverage for you coming up in this first hour. Cubs moving on. Ooh. Yeah, you get to the 500 mark, but where's your closer? You were waiting on that dude. Now what's happening? Rob Manfred still hiding under his desk. When I was on the air on Friday night talking about this Tim Anderson suspension, I assumed that you would hear from the commissioner some point over the weekend or sometime on Monday. Nothing. Radio silence. We would be killing any other commissioner. Adam Silver would be getting it. Goodell, please. What we were hearing after he went radio silence for what, nearly a week after the NFC Championship game? I don't hear a lot of criticism of Mr. Rob Manfred hiding out in New York. But a lot going on. Herb got there. Hit the 40 mark today. Everything's fine. It's the same. Still old. Mike Chen, are you 40 yet? Did you?
No, not quite. Not yet? I got a couple of years, Joe.
You know, usually you have the youngins working in the evenings. That's always been my history. Spent a long time in this evening slot. It's creeping up a little bit older tonight. Mike Chen's almost there. Herb's there. No, I'm there. Everything's still good, though. Want to start off with some Bears conversation, and Scott Barrett from ProFootballFocus.com will join me in about 15 minutes. If you're into the draft, looking forward to what the Bears are going to do, Russ Landy, GM of Junior Scouting, will join me for the 9 o'clock hour, right at 9 o'clock. He's got some fantastic information. I started thinking about something. We know about the limited picks the Bears have for great reason. That's how you land Khalil Mack. You don't have a 1, you don't have a 2 this year. You're going to have to wait till number 87, and that's if Ryan Pace stays right where he is, which doesn't... I'm not really expecting that, right? Based on Pace's history, last year Anthony Miller moves up. Trubisky moves up in 2017. Leonard Floyd was his pass rusher he wanted in 2016. He moved up. So early on, he has a history of moving on up. I've been hearing it from Bears fans that are upset when I say, I don't know if they're going to have a double-digit win season again because it's just so difficult and everything went their way last season. And I started looking at the history of the Bears. Last time they had a double-digit win season, Lovie Smith's last season, 8-8 the next year. That was in 2012. 2010, they were 11-5. Losing the conference title game, 8-8 the next year. The Bears have had back-to-back double-digit win seasons once in the last 28 years. Isn't that amazing? We know about the rough patch they've gone through. They're going to pop up and win the division, and then they just kind of go away and hide for a little bit. Yeah, that's been prevalent over the last three decades. And it reminded me of when they got to that 10-win mark, at least, in back-to-back years, and what happened? That second year was when they got to the Super Bowl to lose to Peyton Manning's Colts. And I was thinking about that year because what happened in that draft? that second year. They didn't have a first-round pick either. But they landed players that contributed immediately. The Bears' needs are pretty obvious this year. They created a major hole at running back. We all know they're going to be drafting a running back, whether it's Friday or Saturday. We all know that's happening. But internally, they made the decision, we don't want Jordan Howard on this team. And if they think that's going to improve the offense, which needs some help, I'm all for it. But they've got a hit on that running back. I think they're going to use one of those sevens to take a kicker. They're signing a bunch of guys, so why not grab one of the few best coming out of college to add to the competition in Bourbonnais? So the offense needs help. What about the line? Are you at a point, all of a sudden, you're going to start trusting Kyle Long? I don't know how you can. Do they need to add more depth there? DBs. You lose a safety, you're down to Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson. At cornerback, we're talking about, okay, now it's Sherrick McManus time and Kevin Tolliver. That's how you're supposed to win this year, with the strong defense and hoping there isn't much of a drop-off with Chuck Pagano as the coordinator, and maybe you can create as many turnovers again or somewhere in the vicinity of that, because I don't know if you can repeat that. I believe it was 36 a year ago. But going back to that 2006 draft, impact players. They have a few holes. They're going to need to hit on these guys. The few picks that they have with the target on rounds 3, 4, and 5, if they stay there. Devin Hester, as a rookie, the second of those back-to-back double-digit win seasons, Devin Hester had 5 touchdowns on special teams, and we know what happened at the start of the Super Bowl. Mark Anderson, late-round pick, 12 sacks as a rookie. A good team. Then you add these guys to the bunch. Don't forget Danielle Manning. He started 14 games for you. Couple picks, 7 pass deflections. He's starting in the Super Bowl. So with limited capital, the pressure's on. Even though he won some awards as the GM of the year, executive of the year, the pressure is on Ryan Pace to hit on these. You've got to bring in guys that are going to contribute this season. Championship window is open today. We all know running backs are need, kickers are need. I think offensive lines are need. Cornerback and or safety are need. Probably. I thought this was interesting. What about tight end? We've gone on and on about that loss to the Eagles, and the first thing everybody brings up is Cody Parkey. Well, within your right to do so. Some believe that if they had a kicker, that they're a Super Bowl team. Maybe. We'll never know. But what about tight end? Because you had that mysterious injury to Trey Burton. And Mully brings it up all the time on the morning show. That it looked like he was a big part of the game plan. And then he wasn't available in the biggest game of the season. On NBC Sports Chicago, I thought this was great. Follow Warren Sharp on Twitter. I've tried to get him on the show. Hopefully we can work out something soon. But J.J. Stankovitz pointed out something that Warren Sharp has been writing about. The Bears in 12 personnel. That means 1 running back, 2 tight ends on the field. In the run game, last year, the Bears averaged 3.4 yards per carry. That is 4th worst in the league. League average 4.3, nearly a full yard short. Yards per attempt. You're looking for a stat to evaluate a pretty solid passing offense. I think this is the best route to go. Passer rating has its issues, but yards per attempt, I think this is a nice starting point. Yards per attempt, Bears 5.9, 2nd worst in the league. The average 8.1, and the Bears were 5.9 yards per attempt. They need to improve in the offense. We know what the defense can do. They have elite talent on that defense. Every level is fantastic. Great last season. We're talking about Hicks, of course, Mack, and everything in that secondary with Fuller and Jackson, of course. The offense has to improve. Trubisky has to be better. Nagy needs to score more points. And they felt it was pivotal to remove Jordan Howard from this offense in order to do that. So this running back that they select doesn't have to be in the third round on Friday. It could be in the fourth or fifth, or it could be an undrafted free agent like Philip Lindsay with the Denver Broncos, who ended up with a 1,000-yard season. Maybe you believe running backs are very replaceable. I don't think they're going to be that risky. They have a few guys targeted. They visited with 16 running backs. So they're drafting a running back. Maybe they're going to draft one and sign a couple. They're visiting with 16 guys. But just going back to the only time in the last 28 years that the Bears have had back-to-back double-digit win seasons. And of course, every situation is not the same. But there are some holes on this club. They need to hit on the few picks that they do have. And Ryan Pace, he's done that, especially at running back. Cohen in the fourth, Howard in the fifth, use him for a few years before moving on. But it feels like there's so much trust in Pace, and I understand it. But now it's tougher. I heard Dane Brugler mention on Bernstein McKnight that they have one pick in the top 125 selections. That's a lot of pressure to hit, and that's exactly what the Bears have to do, especially at running back. Because I don't know how you feel about Mike Davis being the guy. I'm not sure how much they want to have Tariq Cohen in the backfield.
That doesn't excite me.
Doesn't excite me a ton either. There's a lot of people I trust that really like Mike Davis. But you need to add to that, and they know they do. When they traded Howard for a fifth-round back, was it fifth or sixth? Whatever it was. It's for next year. When they traded Howard, they said, yeah, we're getting a running back. There's no question about it. We don't want to risk teams that need an RB adding in the draft, adding in free agency, and then all of a sudden they don't have that need anymore, especially since teams believe that they're just so replaceable. Rodney in Oak Park, you're on 670 The Score with Joe Ostrowski. What's going on, Rodney?
Yeah, I just want to say I think we're underestimating the defensive coordinator who left. I mean, you have a defense coordinator now who had the last place defense, and you know, it's more about scheming, too, when it comes to defense, not just about the athletes that you have. And everybody seems to think that, well, this is just a plug-and-play thing. Mm. But, you know, our head coach had nothing to do with the defensive scheme.
No, and he talked about that immediately. He said, yeah, that's Vic's defense. He runs it. I'm working with Trubisky. I'm working with the offense. I'll check in. But he can do pretty much whatever he wants. Thank you for the phone call, Rodney. He admitted at a bunch of press conferences. I don't think we're underestimating Vic Fangio at all. At least I'm not. Maybe some people are. That's one of the top concerns for 2019 for me. Going from Fangio to Pagano. Now, maybe it works out great. We all hope that's the case. But yeah, there have been a lot of studies too that if you rely entirely on your defense, that's tough to repeat those sort of performances, especially the one they had last year. This segment on The Score brought to you by International Champions Cup. Get ready for soccer's first tournament of the year on July 16th. Catch the International Champions Cup as AS Roma battles Chivas de Guadalajara right in their own backyard at SeatGeek Stadium. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com today. Joe Ostrowski with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Scott Barrett over at Pro Football Focus has been studying these running backs. And I was talking to him earlier today. There are some players on the Bears offense that he really likes to take a couple of steps forward this coming up season. We'll talk to Scott next. I'm Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Joe Ostrowski with you on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Thanks for hanging out and joining me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Scott Barrett from ProFootballFocus.com. Find him on Twitter at Scott Barrett, DFB. What's going on, Scott?
Joe, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for taking time to jump on the show tonight. I saw a tweet of yours over the weekend that got a bunch of traction, and it was interest to the audience here in Chicago because of the number of running backs that the Bears have visited. And your chart that you had out there, and I retweeted it at Joe 0670, you said the Bears have visited with 16 running backs. I want to get to that in just a moment. After moving on from Howard, it's not a surprise, obviously. The Bears are going to end up drafting a running back, maybe even bringing in an undrafted guy as well. I wanted to get your thoughts on the guys that are on the roster right now. What do you think of Mike Davis and Tariq Cohen?
Yeah, so Mike Davis, you know, is just going to make $1 million in guaranteed money. So they didn't invest too much in him, theoretically. He should be a three-down guy. He has that in his repertoire where Jordan Howard didn't. He had 112 carries, 42 targets last year, led Seattle's running backs in receiving yards. He actually graded per Pro Football Focus better than Howard or Cohen last year. Cohen, so you know, it's easy to think that he's going to have a big year next year with Jordan Howard gone. You know, he was 30 yards off from leading the team in receiving yardage, despite ranking third on the team in targets. By every measure, the offense and Mitch Trubisky were so much better, so much more efficient, the more heavily he was involved. Still, based on what the Bears are doing with these running back visits, based on dumping Jordan Howard for nothing, I really do think Matt Nagy is looking for a potential bell cow do-it-all running back and to replace even Tariq Cohen. He led the league in fumbles last year with 7, despite ranking just 31st in touches. You saw volume dip last year, wasn't very heavily used. I really think that Nagy is looking for one do-it-all running back who's not going to tip opposing defenses to what the team's going to be doing. You know, with Jordan Howard, who led the league or led the position in drops over the past 3 years, you knew he wasn't a serious threat as a receiver. Where Tariq Cohen, you know, 4.4 yards per carry, but that's typically against, you know, very light fronts and obvious passing downs. You're not really worried about him as a runner. So I think, you know, teams can predict whether you're going to go run or pass personnel when you have just based on which one of those guys are coming in. So I think he wants a three-down back, just like he had in 2017 with the Chiefs. You know, the biggest difference between Nagy and Reed when either one was calling plays was that Kareem Hunt was used as a bell cow when Nagy was the offensive play caller. You know, saw a massive uptick in snaps and targets, and the offense was better off because of it.
Yeah, some great points. Okay, of the backs that you see coming out, probably that would fit those middle rounds, but I'm seeing a lot of people say no running backs are going in the first round, so that could be most of the running backs here. Which backs do you think would fit Nagy's offense?
So here's really interesting. So the Bears have met with 60 guys total. He brought in 25 guys for private visits, and all those guys are basically like early day three guys, you know. Bears don't have a first-round pick. You don't have a second-round pick. So all of those 60 guys are kind of like late day two, early day three guys, all of them except for one. And that's Josh Jacobs, who's the unanimous RB1. Mm-hmm. He's projected to go in the first round of the draft. We've seen Nagy trade up before. They traded up for Anthony Miller. If they were to trade up for anyone in this draft, I think it could be Josh Jacobs. And like I was saying before, you know, he's a guy with that bell cow upside. He can do it all. He was our most efficient running back in short yardage and goal line situations last year by a landslide. 41% of his carries resulted in either a first down or a touchdown. That was the highest rate in the country. And then to top it all off, he's a fantastic receiver. He led all combine invite running backs in career yards for target, career yards for route run. I think that's a hot take. I don't think that's the most likely scenario, but he's a guy that he brought in for a private visit, and you're only allowed 30 of those.
Wow. Yeah, and Pace has done that each of the last 3 years. Early in the draft, moved up. You mentioned Anthony Miller a couple of years ago. Trubisky moved up. He didn't want anybody else getting Trubisky. And in 2016, did the same thing with his pass rusher, targeted Leonard Floyd, and he moved up. I think they were worried about the Giants getting in there. So, yeah, that wow, that would be interesting. Obviously, they're definitely going to take a running back here, but you're saying Josh Jacobs, everybody's number one back on the board, could be in play. All right, let's talk about year two of Nagy's offense. We talked about running back. It's all about the signal caller. At least it feels that way. It'd be tough to repeat that defensive performance. What do you think about Trubisky going into 2019?
Yeah, so if I'm a Bears fan, I'd be so much more confident that Nagy was my head coach for the next 10 years than I would be that even Trubisky's my starting quarterback for the next 3 years. I know that's another hot take, but just based on the PFF data, there's a lot to be concerned with. I know it was his first year in the system, but still, of 38 qualifying quarterbacks, he graded sixth worst. That's behind names like C.J. Beathard, Eli Manning, Blake Bortles. My favorite stat for analyzing quarterback accuracy is depth-adjusted completion percentage, again, ranked sixth worst of 30 quarterbacks. Really, he just wasn't asked to do that much last year. That's partly related to game script. But our grades and our numbers say he benefited way more from good coaching, and the offense benefited way more from good coaching than from good quarterback play. Now, perhaps, you know, more familiarity in the scheme, you know, gets some more responsibilities, plays a little bit better with that familiarity. But still, just based on our data, he wasn't asked to do a lot, and he didn't really impress based on all that. And really, Nagy was the one who stood out with good coaching, good scheming.
It was a new offense. It was his first full season. Some people don't even want to count the end of the John Fox era when Trubisky was starting as a rookie. And I kind of understand with Dow Loggins as the OC there. When should Bears fans worry?
That's a good question. I think it's going to be hard to tell just because that defense is so good. You know, does have a good receiving core. I like Anthony Miller a lot. Allen Robinson getting paid like a top 15 wide receiver should play like it. And I don't really see too many problems for you. I think, you know, you can use Trubisky at a more conservative arm where he's, you know, not asked to do much, and you don't need him to do much because, you know, that defense is so good. I don't know when it's time to worry, but, you know, I keep looking at PFF's grades because those are just about as predictive as anything else you can look at for quarterback play.
Have you offhand, I'm sorry, I didn't give you a heads up on this to look it up, but offhand, do you remember any quarterbacks or recall any quarterbacks that started off poorly in this range and then just really turned it on?
Yeah, so that has happened. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers to see specifically who, but we have seen that. And you know, there's a lot to like about Trubisky. You know, he was drafted highly for a reason. Maybe this was just you know, a down year, and like you're saying, you know, not too familiar with the offense, not too experienced. We did love him coming out in college, so you know, I'm not super pessimistic, but I do think it is something to worry about at least a little bit.
All right, before you jumped on, we were talking about the tight ends and how in that wild card loss to the Eagles, it looked like much of the offense was set to go through Burton, but then he was unable to play in that playoff game. What do you think of their group, Burton, Shaheen, and Broniker?
Shaheen was never a guy I really loved coming out. I don't think he was a Nagy pick, but maybe I'm wrong on that. Burton was another guy. You know, he flashed at times in Philadelphia, but then again, you know, we've seen a lot of tight end success in Philadelphia that might just be scheme related. Was a guy I wasn't really sure on, but we know, you know, Matt Nagy, based on his history in Kansas City, would love to run the offense through a tight end. Unfortunately, I'm just not really seeing it, you know, too much to be very optimistic that, you know, Burton's that sort of guy. You know, the other thing I looked at when looking at these camp visits, rookie visits, so running back was easily the position, you guys visited with the most. Second was cornerback, and third was wide receiver and tight end. So it wouldn't shock me if he spent one of these day three picks on a tight end. From everything I'm hearing, this is a really good tight end class.
You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670. The Score, visiting with Scott Barrett, senior fantasy analyst at ProFootballFocus.com, talking about the Bears roster, looking ahead to the draft a bit. And Scott, Vegas put out the win totals for this upcoming season, and they have three winning teams in the NFC North: Bears, Packers, and the Vikings. But a lot of changes up in Green Bay. They make additions on defense, and they have a brand new head coach for Aaron Rodgers. What's your opinion of Matt LaFleur?
It's kind of hard to get a good gauge on him, specifically because, you know, Tennessee took a massive step back last year. Granted, there were a lot of things that went wrong that were outside of his control, but I'm not yet sold on him as this offensive genius everyone's trying to make him out to be. Do I think the offense takes a step forward because of the outdated scheme he ran for a decade plus? Yeah, I do think that, but not entirely sold on LaFleur. But I mean, this is a really tough division, and I do think the Packers take a massive step forward next year.
And up in Minnesota, Kevin Stefanski took over for John DeFilippo in December. Then he was officially named the offensive coordinator in the offseason. What do you think of Stefanski with Kirk Cousins?
I don't know if I have a good take on Stefanski, but I think we all know Minnesota's problem, and that's the offensive line. And I'd expect them to address that heavily in the draft. And I really, if you look at the surrounding pieces on defense and on offense with that wide receiver core, I really think that's all you need to fix that offense.
And last thing for you, Scott, when people bring up Adrian Amos before he went to the Packers in free agency, one of the things that stuck to him was, well, he's a PFF darling. Pro Football Focus loves him. So what do you think of the loss of the Bears secondary in the addition for Green Bay?
So I think that's a great point. I don't have too much to add on Amos, but we did love the Ha Ha Clinton Dix signing. He was our 17th best safety last year. But one thing that we completely didn't love was swapping out Bryce Callahan for Buster Screen. So Callahan was our 7th best graded cornerback last year. He was your slot cornerback. Matt Nagy in October said of Buster Screen, he's one of the best nickel cornerbacks in the league, if not the best. That's just not true. In fact, he might be the worst last year. He might have been the worst starting nickel cornerback in all of football. He graded 10th worst for us of 112. Cornerbacks, easily worst of the slot cornerbacks. And remember, Bryce Callahan ranked top 10 overall, so that's a big loss.
Scott, it's draft week. We were excited. And now you came in here and told us how bad Trubisky is in the Big Town grade. And it's slot with the slot corner with Screen to Callahan. No, you're right, though. I mean, when Callahan went down to an injury late last season, people were freaking out about Sherrick McManus being in there at nickel corner, and that's a position in the past wasn't talked about a whole lot. And it tells you everything when Vic Fangio is like, get me Callahan here as quick as you can, John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good stuff, Scott. Appreciate your work. People, you can follow Scott on Twitter, at Scott Barrett. DFB.
All right. Thanks so much, Joe.
You got it. Good stuff from Scott Barrett. Down on Trubisky. But he does like a few things. He likes the move they made. Obviously, the Bears don't have the money to bring Amos back. And so they're down with the Clinton Dix addition. But Screen always goes under the radar. We talk about this great Bears defense, and we have so much trust in Matt Nagy. When we heard those comments, okay, that's fine. I'm fine with Screen. But Callahan goes down to an injury last year, and there was all this panic. That was part of the issue, though, last couple of years with Callahan, that he wasn't available. Screen is available. 16 games. Scott Barrett saying maybe you don't want him available for every single game. Wow. Okay, some good stuff from Scott Barrett. Likes Mike Davis, does not like Trubisky at all. Likes Anthony Miller. Does not like Screen at all. 312-644-6767. So we know the Bears are going running back. We've talked about that. Whether it's rounds 3, 4, 5, they move up, move down. They're going running back at least one. Last week, I talked to a couple of draft experts about the running backs that fit best with Matt Nagy. You'll hear from them next. It's Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score.
Snap, handing off, Jordan Howard blasting up the middle, 25-20, 15-10. Jordan Howard inside the 5-yard line, it looks like, or at the 5. A huge run in the nick of time. Abraham Campbell on the tackle, 25 yards. And that run put him past Bronco Nagurski for 12th on the all-time Bears rushing list.
That was interesting what Scott Barrett said of the 25 private visits that the Bears had. Just 25. One of them is the top running back in this draft. At least the guy expected to be the top running back selected in Josh Jacobs. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670. The Score, the bottom of the hour, is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch your Central Division champion Chicago Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the first round of the Calder Cup playoffs. For up-to-date playoff information or tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. Last week, I met with a couple of draft experts. Actually, last Thursday, we were out and about Elk Grove Village, Real Time Sports. I was doing a show with Anthony Herron last Thursday, and he covers the Pac-12 network, works for the Big Ten network radio show every morning. So he's all over college football. Anthony knows what he's talking about. In fact, I'll be on the air Friday. Hopefully, the Bears will be making a draft pick Friday for a couple of hours, 6 to 8 p.m. With Anthony Herron, and we'll be doing wall-to-wall draft coverage, talking about what the Bears are going to do with 87 overall or wherever they end up selecting. But I asked Anthony Herron on Thursday about the best fit at running back for Nagy's offense.
Penn State running back named Miles Sanders, who I do think could end up being a very nice, if he's available. I know I've talked to several teams who think Miles Sanders is the best running back in the draft. He may be one of those top two backs that could end up going somewhere early on day two. There's a lot of folks who really like him. Well, at least several. I won't say a lot. There's several folks who really like him as one of, if not the best back coming out in this particular class.
He would fit.
He would fit. He would definitely fit in what the Bears want to do offensively. And like I was telling Joe off the air a little bit early, by comparison to Saquon Barkley, who he took over for from Penn State this past season, where Barkley, at 230-plus pounds, is as amazing a home run hitter as you're going to find in that hulking sort of body. But Miles Sanders is actually more a more consistent running back than Saquon Barkley. But Saquon is going to get you 1 yard, 2 yards, minus 2 yards, and then hit you for 60. Miles Sanders is going to get you 3 yards, 5 yards, 8 yards, 30 yards, 8 yards, 4 yards. He's a more consistent runner that will hit the hole assigned, that will take what the defense is giving him, that will consistently gain yards in a manner that you can account for and count on within the game plan in a very different way than Saquon Barkley ever has been at any level of football.
Well, where does Bryce Love's just availability then factor in? Because that's a guy that was beat up quite a bit.
Yeah. He had so many carries over the last couple of years of his career when he was healthy, and especially his lower body has gotten extremely beat up between the knee surgery, several ankle injuries. So he's a guy who will likely be viewed as a great value pick later in the draft, you know, mid to late rounds, because he was so productive when he was able to stay on the field. He just has it because of health issues, and he doesn't have a big frame. He's a fairly small frame guy, so he wasn't able to stay healthy. The anticipation for most teams is he's likely going to be an injury play guy as well if he's someone who's getting many carries at the next level. So he'll be a value pick for someone because he's talented with the rock in his hands. He's just not someone you can count on that you can give him many touches because he's been hurt so frequently in his career.
Let me throw two more names at you. Montgomery out of Iowa State and Benny Snell, Kentucky.
So Montgomery's a player that's got, he's got the all-purpose dimension to his game, and he was utilized as a guy who could take a volume of touches for Iowa State. He's not electric with the ball in his hands. You know, he's got a, stylistically, I think at the next level, he may end up being stylistically, as far as just the downhill nature of it, perhaps similar to what the Bears are losing in Jordan Howard. Certainly not as physical a runner as Jordan Howard, but as far as a guy who likes to get north and south, but not as electric in the hole or as electric in space as what you would get from a back of his stature, a back of his sort of all-purpose skill set. But he can catch the ball. He's a competent enough route runner, and he has some shiftiness in the hole. he's just not a guy who – he's highly regarded by teams, but he's not the type of back that you're going to think, all right, when we give him the rock, look out defense. He's a home run potential type of guy. That's just not what he shows on film. So I like him, but you just – you got to know what you're getting if you're going to draft Montgomery. Benny Snell, you know, similar evaluation with more explosive power. And a guy who can hand, he's shown enough durability where in a game you can give him 20, 25, 30 carries and not really worry about that if that's the type of offense, the type of system that you want to draft him into. But I do like him with the ball in his hands as a guy who can impose his will on defense in a couple of ways.
That was Anthony Heron with me last week on 670 The Score. Again, I'll be hosting from 6 to 8 on Friday during the draft with Anthony Heron. So we'll be breaking it down as we count down to the Bears' first selection, we think. It's interesting about Snell right there. I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks over at NFL Network, and they discussed Snell. And they brought up that there are so many running backs in these mid-rounds that they see Snell being pushed down to maybe the sixth or seventh round. And Brooks brought up not even being drafted, which if he goes undrafted, the Bears have to bring him in addition to the guy that they end up taking. Remember, the Bears are not locked into a running back at 87 overall, third round. They're going to get one. We all know that. But they don't have to. Ryan Pace preaches BPA, best player available. They all do. They can do that, especially if there's an offensive lineman and pass rusher, someone in the secondary worth taking. By the Meow of the Hour was brought to you by the Chicago Bears. Don't miss out on the largest gathering of Bears players and fans ever at Bears 100 Celebration Weekend, June 7th through the 9th. In Rosemont, get free autographs and photos, see one-of-a-kind panels with the 2019 Bears Hall of Famers and other alumni together on stage. Visit ChicagoBears.com for tickets. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score. And on Friday, I spoke with Evan Silva of Roto World. 98 mock drafters were tracked last year, whatever you want to call it, and he had the most accurate mock draft last year. And I asked Evan about the best fit at RB for the Bears, too.
Jordan Howard did not have, you know, his best year by any stretch in his first year under the new coach. It was as far back as, you know, last February and January, not this February and January, but last February and January, that we started to hear about the Bears maybe wanting to trade Jordan Howard. I mean, shoot, those trade rumors have been out for a really long time. That was nothing new at all. They didn't find a trade partner last offseason. They did this offseason. And I think that they're going to be in better hands. First of all, Mike Davis brings so much more in the passing game. He was the Seahawks' third down back last year. They used Chris Carson as their feature back. Mike Davis was really their number two back, and they used him in a lot of passing situations. Really good pass blocker and much better receiver than Jordan Howard, and their number three back was really Rashad Penny, their first round pick. Not a great pick by that organization, at least so far. But Mike Davis, what he brings to the table is just a lot more versatility. He does have plus size. He's 217 pounds. He can run between the tackles. I think he's an upgrade on Jordan Howard. And you know, we're going to see if they're, I mean, they only have five picks, and their first pick is at number 87. So it's not like they're going to be bringing in a big time back. And also this draft is really weak at running back. I mean, I think it's the weakest position group in this draft. So, I mean, they're going to get a guy probably on day three, and you know, he's going to come and compete. And I think that probably Mike Davis will beat him out. Maybe they'll find a gem, you know, that can definitely happen. But they're either way, I think their running game is going to be just in good hands. They're returning all five offensive line starters. They're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, and Pace did hit on Cohen in the fourth. He hit on Howard in the fifth for a time. And we've seen running backs go very late in the draft, and even some undrafted rookies have some really nice seasons. We saw that in Denver a season ago. Perfect scenario. The Bears go running back. We don't know if it's the third or the fourth or even the fifth. But what are some names that you think would fit Nagy's offense perfectly?
Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic is a guy that stands out. He's going to go on day three because he didn't test well at the combine. He ran 4.66. He's a little bit smaller, but he can make guys miss. He runs big for his size. He can play in the passing game a little bit. I think that he might be a guy that is on the Bears' radar. It would be fun to add like a speed back like Daryl Henderson. I think that he is going to be gone out of Memphis. I think that he's going to be gone by the time that they pick at 87. I think they have very little chance of getting Miles Sanders, barring a trade up, which, hey, you know, Ryan Pace has been very willing to trade up to get his guys. Did it last year with Anthony Miller. Of course, did it with Trubisky. But
Leonard Floyd, too.
Yep, Leonard Floyd, too. You know, and that's something that I think we should mention, Joe, is that I think they need another pass rusher. Like, how much longer are they going to give Leonard Floyd, like, a big extension? I don't know about that. Like, I think at 87, they should be looking at pass rushers, not running backs.
All right, I'm ready for the draft. I'm ready. Leading up to it, the month leading up to it, usually I'm getting hyped and I can't wait. The countdown's on. Tempered a little bit with the Bears, no picks, first or second round, but I'm ready. I'm ready after hearing some of my favorite analysts talk about the draft as we inch closer and closer to Thursday. Joe Ostrowski with you on the score. Let's go to Michigan City. Let's squeeze Mark in. Hello, Mark, you're on the score.
Hello, Joe. How you doing tonight?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Good. I called in the Who's Your Guy today, and at 87th in the third round overall, the tight end from Texas A&M, Jace Sternberger. I think if the Bears don't go to a running back, or if Snell from Kentucky would last to the fifth round or sixth round, or if now you don't trade up for something spectacular, I think if 87 falls to them, I'd consider it the tight end, Jace Sternberger from Texas A&M.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, if you're going to go that early at tight end, you're going to get a pass catcher, especially with this offense that needs to improve. And if they used their first pick of the draft on a tight end, aren't they sending a big message to Trey Burton? They were really upset about how things finished up last year, and they don't trust him moving forward. I mean, he was fantastic in the first half of last year, then he kind of went away in the second half.
What does it say about Adam Shaheen?
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, the way this roster was built, and they didn't know Khalil Mack was going to fall into their lap, but the way this roster was built, it was win now, and that guy was just as raw as they possibly come. And he's still a massive question mark. Tight end's a need. Look around the entire offense. Where don't you need something? They need to get better. That's the portion of this team that really needs to take a step forward. Bottom line, just put more points on the board. This segment on the score brought to you by International Champions Cup. Get ready for soccer's first tournament of the year on July 16th. Catch the International Champions Cup as AS Roma battles Chivas de Guadalajara right in their own backyard at SeatGeek Stadium. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com today. Cubs are at the 500 mark after 20 games. After that rough start, you should be feeling good, right? Oh, some news over the weekend. Cubs fans need to be concerned. And you would think, with everything this front office preached in the offseason, they need to do something pretty quick about the relief. Talk about that next. Joe Ostrowski on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.